Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome into Long Meadow Church of the Brethren again on a Sunday. Thank goodness we're here and we welcome you in this side and on that side for the sermon titled Anticipation. And our scripture lesson today comes from Revelation chapter 1, verses 1 through 19. It's spring. Time for spring cleaning. Everybody thinks this weather has called for it. The phone rang on the sheriff's desk. He picked it up and said, "What's going on?" The deputy on the other end of the line says, "Hey, we're out there at the house where the husband was beat by the wife." And the sheriff said, "All right, well, very good. Did you put her in the car? Are you bringing her in?" The sheriff's deputy said, "No." The sheriff said, "Why not?" He said, "We can't get in the house." "Well, what's going on out there?" "Well, we figured out that the husband got beat by the wife because he come in the house after she had just washed the kitchen floor." The sheriff said, "All right, we'll go in there and get her." The deputy said, "We can't." The sheriff said, "Why not?" The deputy said, "The floor's still wet." Revelation chapter 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants, must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw. That is the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads these words of this prophecy. And blessed are those who hear it and take it to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be the glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, "Write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea." I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me, and when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet, with a golden sash around his chest. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were blazing like fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace. And his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp, double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. Write therefore what you have seen, what is now, and what will take place later." May God add his blessings to these passages as we seek him in prayer. Let us pray. Father, bless us through the words that you have left for us. Bless us through the message you have given to us today. Father, bless these words that they may be heard and strengthened. They may teach us to walk. They may guide us in the week to come. They may give us that shelter that we need to turn back to against the storms of life. We thank you, Father, for these words from you to us. In Jesus' name. And all of his children said, Amen. Alabama. I love saying that word. Alabama. When I was young, I loved Alabama. That's all I could think about was Alabama. Alabama, Alabama. And I loved them. And everybody said, "What? Wait, did he say them or the state?" No, I'm talking about the music group Alabama. Yeah. Oh, man, I love the state, too. It's so pretty. I've been through it a couple times. But I loved Alabama. From the first time that I was able to hear them when they were coming on strong, let me just tell you what. I got to see Alabama in 1980-something or another, 83 or 84, on the Closer You Get tour. Still got the T-shirt. I would try to put it on, but it would stop somewhere about here and it would make me go like that. But I'm telling you, I love and still love Alabama. I had, to this day, at one point in time, I owned every single one of their cassette tapes. I said cassette tapes, and I still have them. And for those of you who might be listening going, what? Cassette tape, little square thing. You put it in a machine. It played music. When it acted up, you stuck a pencil through the cogs, and you wound the pencil back. And eventually, one of these times, if you had cassette tapes and you had a car and you were young, you'd be listening to your favorite song and suddenly you would hear, "Baby, come out!" And when you pull it out, the whole tape would still be in the machine. They were wonderful. Alabama. They had 33 number one country hits. 3 years. They had three number ones in 1 year. But in 1992, and I love all their songs, and I sing them to myself, and sometimes when I'm acting up or I have been in trouble with Wendy, which that'll probably happen in about the next hour, I'll look at her very lovingly, and I'll sing to her Dixieland Delight, or Love in the First Degree, or Mountain Music. And her heart just melts, and she's forgotten everything stupid I've done in the past 5 minutes. No, that doesn't sound good. But in 1992, they came out with my theme song. It was their 31st of 33 number ones. And if one day I could learn to live by that song, I'd probably be in a little bit better shape. I find myself humming it at the most curious times. Sometimes when I'm moving along a blacktop stretch of highway greater than what the law says I should, that would be called speeding, which I do a lot. Don't know why. I have to drive so fast. My car has nothing to prove. It's not new, but it'll do 0 to 60 in 5.2. Can't be late. I leave in plenty of time, shaking hands with the clock. I can't stop. I'm on a roll and ready to rock. Oh, I hear a voice that says I'm running behind. I better pick up the pace. It's a race, and there ain't no room for someone left in second place. I'm in a hurry to get things done. I rush and rush until life's no fun. All I really got to do is live and die, and I'm in a hurry and don't know why. And I know one thing, pretty near everyone in this room, that song has just started to roll in your head, and for the rest of the day you'll be hearing it, and you might see me at some place this week, like, I don't know, a butcher shop or a grocery store, and you might say harmful things to me like, "Why did you put that in my head?" Because I'm in a hurry to get things done. There you go. I've locked it in. It's called anticipation, which is another word to remind us of what the Lord says when he says, be patient. Settle down. Anticipation leads to anxiety, worry, and stress if it is allowed to be too much. Yes, it's good to anticipate things. Like the day I anticipated watching the back doors of the church open and my bride-to-be step through in glowing white. That was a good day. But then there's the other anticipation where you just got to go. You got to go. You want to know it now. You have to know. You want to know. It's worry. It's stress. And it tears you up. Leonardo da Vinci said, patience serves as a protection against wrongs as clothes do against the cold. Now, he said it in Italian, but my Italian is a little rusty, so I'm not going to try to do it in that particular language. He said, for if you put on more clothes as the cold increases, it will give no power to hurt you from the cold. So in like manner, you must grow in patience when you meet with great wrongs, with great moments of stress, with great moments of worry, and they will be powerless to vex your mind. Anticipation. When? What? I need to know now. I need to know now. We have little kids. Christmas. Anticipation. I saw a picture the other day where a brother and sister had told their mother that they wanted Easter baskets for Christmas. And their mother said, you're both 16 years old. Why in the world would you want Easter baskets for Christmas? And let's just be clear. Mom, I know you watch these sermons. There better be one for me. And so they took a picture of the kids sitting there. And this is why I say this to you, Mom, because I know you probably do this. With their Easter baskets, which were clothes baskets filled with laundry material and cleaning supplies and instructions on how to clean your room. And they did not smile. I thought that was hilarious. We force ourselves along when we decide that we have got to have the knowledge of the when and now. And when things aren't going the way we anticipate, we get stressed, we get frustrated. And once again, that question was posed. Are we at the end? Should we be preparing? Look, Paul, there are signs, and I know you know this stuff. Is it it? To those people that have posed those questions to me, I'd like to answer them in the following order, if I may. Are we at the end? Yes. Should we be preparing? Yes. Look at these signs, Paul. You know this stuff. Is it it? Yes. But nobody ever asked me the next question. When? Because I know when. You didn't know that, did you? You see, once you become a pastor and a preacher, once you've answered God's call, he every now and then calls you up and tells you certain truths and certain secrets and allows you to be part of the club. That's me. I anticipate the next phone call. But recently he has told me when he is coming back. Don't shake your head at me. I have the answer. Would anybody like to hear it? I wrote it down. You'd like to hear it? That's right. When I'm ready. That's when I'll be back. Why are you in anticipation of it? To the point that it's causing you stress. To the point that it's making you crazy. For some reason, last week, I thought about Revelation. Oh, you can't say that. Why not? That's the bad book. No, it's not. This is the closing credits. And I got to thinking, maybe I ought to go back in and do some reading and do some studying. And so I did, and I have been. And I've got myself set up with a few study guides because I'm curious about a few things. And the very first book out of the gate right here is the essence to Jesus Christ, what he was, what he is, and what he shall be. And you know what the essence of it all is? It's written right here in Scripture. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He is returning when it's time. At the beginning of this, John says, be patient. Everybody has already started asking, From the moment they realized that Jesus Christ rose back from the dead, 2,000 years ago, they started asking. And I read an article about Revelation that absolutely keyed me into it. Revelation comes in three parts. The first part is what was, the second part is what is, and the third part is what is yet to come. Hey, didn't they just say that? And the writer of that article said a lot of this was written to prepare those Gentiles and those Jewish converts for what is going on at that time. A lot of it is for what is now, what is happening now, how you can apply it now, and the rest of it is for what to come. Well, what about all the stuff of the lions and the horns and everything like that? It's illustrations. And in the beginning of this, John paints this beautiful, entirely wonderful, captivating picture of the King of all, Jesus Christ. Now, I like how he says, a little bit later on over here, in verse 9, I, John, your brother and companion, in the suffering, which means anticipation, want, desire, and kingdom, which means he knows what's coming, and patient endurance, meaning we have to wait. He's coming when he's ready. Don't lose yourself in this thought that you must know right now. You don't need to be in a hurry to know this. Was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. John was exiled there. Now, there's a lot of people that says he was exiled on an island down there where the wind blows and the palm trees sway. No. John had to work. He was there as a slave. He was there because they didn't know how to make him be quiet. And so they sent him to an island where he figured he couldn't cause any trouble. And what happens? An angel comes to him and says, relax, John. Listen to what I have to tell you about what's to come. On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit. In the Spirit. And then he goes on to explain, I heard behind me a voice like a loud trumpet, which said, write on a scroll what you see, and send it to the seven churches. I'm going to show you what was, what is, and what will be. Write it down and send it out. And I love when it says, I turned around to see who was speaking to me. With the big man, with the golden sash and the bronze feet and the white hair and the full face and the sharp sounds of his voice like rushing waters. Who has ever stood next to a raging river? Say amen. That is a loud, unforgettable sound, ain't it? I have never been to Niagara Falls yet. My wife has promised me we're going to Niagara Falls. And she said, and I quote, don't embarrass me when we get there. And I said, what could that possibly mean? She goes, I already know what you're thinking, and there are no barrels for you to get in. Although I'll bet you'd like to put me in one. But I have heard that when you go there, and we're going to do it all, we're going to go see the falls, and we're going to ride on that boat that goes right up to the edge. We're going to do everything. But I have heard that the sound is unlike anything you've ever heard in your life. And yet that same sound could be compared to a river as it is rushing towards its eventual end. This powerful sound. And they're describing Jesus Christ now in his resurrected body, sitting at the right hand of God, all decked out, all powerful, a voice that commands you to turn around and listen. And when he did, he saw things and heard things. The double-edged sword, a voice that was clear in direction, a sound, a direction. When I saw him, I fell at his feet. Yes, you would have. He placed his hand on me and he said, do not be afraid. In that sentence right there, in that moment right there, every Christian should start Revelation, read right to that point, stop and say this prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Because he has said, do not be afraid. You who have testified, you who have loved me, you who have accepted me, you that have locked in your salvation, do not be afraid. And to you, brothers and sisters, that are still here waiting, do not let the anticipation overrun the patience. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever. What you see, what you have seen, what is now, and what will take place later is the testimony of Jesus Christ. It speaks of being in a hurry at the beginning of this. It reminds us that God has His own time and His own plan. But be ready. You remember what happens when you worry too much, when you anticipate things too heavily, when you get in so much of a hurry, when you think everything's going to be the way it is, when you're so full of anticipation, you're reminded what it does to you. About the woman who had been having trouble sleeping for 10 years because she feared burglars might come into the house. And once a week, she sent her husband down to check. There's somebody here. There's somebody here. And there never was. Until one night, there's somebody down there. Would you please go down there and see? I think we're being robbed. And the husband goes downstairs and flicks on the light. When he got there, he found a burglar. And the burglar, surprised, standing there looking at him. And the man said, "Good evening. I am so pleased to meet you. It's wonderful to see you. Would you mind coming upstairs with me now? My wife has been waiting 10 years to see you." Jesus said in Luke chapter 21, "Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. And that day will close in on you unexpectedly like a trap, for it will come upon all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man." Be ready. Don't be in anticipation. Don't be in stress and worry. If this is to be the end, if this is our last day, oh well. We've said our goodbyes to this old life when we accepted the man that died for our sins. What's there to worry about? What, do you want to keep on living in this mess? I mean, there's a lot of good. I love it. But what is beyond is with our Savior. We who have accepted Him need only remind ourselves that we anticipate the beauty and glory that we would see, not when He'll get here. That we anticipate what He has done for us, that we can celebrate it with Him. That we anticipate the great banquet. John said, "Be patient. Don't be in a hurry. Don't be anxious." M.H. Lount has said, "God's best gifts come slowly. We could not use them if they did not. Many a man called of God to work, in which he is pouring out his life, is convinced that the Lord means to bring his efforts to successful conclusion. Nevertheless, even such a confident worker grows discouraged at times and worries and becomes anxious because the results he anticipated do not come as fast as he thought they would. But growth and strength and waiting are results often greater than the end so impatiently longed for." Paul had time to realize this as he lay in prison. Moses must have asked himself why so many times during the delays in Midian and the wilderness. And Jesus himself experienced the discipline of delay in his silent years before his great ministry began. God wants us to see results as we work for Him, but His first concern is our growth. That's why He often withholds success until we have learned patience. The Lord teaches us this needed lesson through the blessed discipline of delay, not anticipation. I didn't write this sermon for you. I wrote this sermon for Paul Nelson Leatherman III to remind me, because on occasion, often, I get wound up about things. On occasion, quite often, I wish that we could have no empty spots in any of these pews. On occasion, more often than not, I anticipate that I'm going to do the wrong thing in a sermon, that I'm going to run out of gas, that I'm not going to have the sermon. And often, all the time, God provides with that lesson. Stop it. Do the work, be ready. Do the work, be ready. Do the work, be ready. Don't anticipate the end. Don't anticipate the results. Do the work, be ready. Let us be reminded that anticipation should always be tempered with patience. I'm in a hurry to get things done. I rush and rush until life's no fun. All I really got to do is live and die, but I'm in a hurry and don't know why. No need for anticipation. The need is for patience, work toward it, and then see that glory unfolded. Let us remind ourselves once again that anticipation should always be tempered with patience. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you that you have given us so much when we deserve so little. And yet, Father, you have opened the glories to us. You have given us the word. You have given us the place to go to find out these things. You have reminded us that while those who work for you suffer and stress and strive and work, there is a greater result. And instead of looking toward that point, we look toward the here and now. Let us work. Let us be patient. Let us love. Let us give. Let us show. Let us make sure that people around us know as we are approaching the end times, whenever they are, that they know the love and glory and salvation of Jesus Christ. My anticipation is that I get to tell someone this week who doesn't know. And I'll be patient until you put them in front of me. Let that be the prayer for all of us, Father, in this week to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we sing this last hymn, if you need that extra prayer, please come forward. If you don't know Jesus yet, and you're on that side of the camera, you know the drill. If you've been here with any amount of time, reach out to me or someone that knows Jesus. And if you're new to this and you just stumbled across it, Jesus Christ is the only way. He is the truth. He is the life. He is the salvation. Need to know him today. May God bless each and every one of you.